Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to worship at the altar of music and comedy. The giddiness and the harmony of a well-crafted comedy song brings great joy in abundance. Join the tinkling talents of David Thames and me, Phil Nickel. Sit back, turn it up, and enjoy Songs in the Key of Laugh.
Songs in the Key of Laugh, episode 4, series 2. Can you believe it, David?
I know, right? We spent so much time together, Phil.
Yeah, that's David.
Yeah, I'm David and that's Phil.
I guess do we have to keep announcing that?
Well,
I guess we do.
I don't, egotistically, yes.
Someone might tune in to this episode and be the only one they hear. So yeah. I'm Phil Nickel and that's David Thames.
Hi, nice to meet you.
We're doing a special today.
I don't think we've done it. Is this a special one?
It's an Australian special, mate.
Does that mean that we have to do the accent?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
Oh, we're going to have all our Australian fans tuning out. That's bad. We're going to talk about Australian comedy music, Australian comedy musical comedians, the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and all that's coming up on the show.
Absolutely. We're also going to have our comedy song contest. Yeah, it's definitely a competition, as well as the musical that we've been writing.
Yes.
We are going to continue with that.
Yes, if you're a fan of this episode, if you're a fan of the podcast, we are dumping the Quickfire Parody Game and we have been improvising a musical. And our guest on today's show is trying to write a musical. Our guest on today's show is an Australian musical comedian and her name is
Jude Pearl.
And there's a song about a Christmas slug as well. So it's kind of got everything that you could possibly want in a Christmas release, I think.
Yeah. Amazing.
Australia. What is Australia? I mean, when I was young, Australia was like the furthest away place you could be. From Canada, anyway. It was like Australia just seemed like yonks, as they say.
It is pretty far away from Canada.
It is really far.
It's pretty far away from the UK.
Around the other side of the earth. Now, we've had on the show, we've had Tim Minchin, who I think is one of the most famous purveyors of musical comedy songs from Australia. But there's so much depth to the Australian comedy scene and the musical comedy scene. I think guys like the Doug Anthony All-Stars, which I'll talk about in a bit, or the Scared with Little Guys.
Which I've done a lot of work trying to imitate one of their tunes, which I'm going to play for you later.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
But I think I was trying to, because when I was in Courtney Juice Pigs, we actually, one of our big steps forward is in 1990, we crashed the Melbourne Comedy Festival. We just like bought flights and just went there without being invited.
Without a gig?
No, without a gig. We just flew to the other side of the world and picked up a gig. And we were at the Prince Pat, which is like a Prince Pat hotel. Because in Australia, in Melbourne, each hotel and little bar would have music, live music. And Sydney, I guess, but Melbourne is such a music scene. Everyone was playing music all the time. It's such an arts-driven city. And the Prince Pat, during the comedy festival, had what's the guy's name that was Joe Mengel from, what's his name now? Mark Little. Had Mark Little on. And he was a huge star. He was on Neighbours. And we supported him for the run at the festival. But because we were so frenetic and mad and musical, after the first night, he went, I'll tell you what, guys, I'll go first and you guys can go second. And then we would do like 2.5 hour long shows at the Prince Pat Hotel, which is still going. We've had so many great years there. In fact, it's where one of our members, Greg, met his now wife, Jess. So
can I just go back a little bit? So how did you end up playing at the festival? If how did you manage to like shoehorn your way into it?
Well, we had a weird music connection because there was a band called Blue Rodeo, and there was an Australian band called The Weddings, Parties, Anything. Weddings, Parties, Anything, one of the great Aussie rock bands, pub bands, Mick Thomas. And Paul Thomas, their guitar player, was given to us as a tour manager by their manager, who knew Andrew Walker, who knew the manager of this band Blue Rodeo, and we were with the same management. So we just flew out there and we kind of like talked our way into it, and we just ended up doing all these like university gigs. And we even ended up opening, we were like a trio, comedy trio, like the Dog Anthony All-Stars. Well, we were better.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we were. Yep. They smelt bad. And
they said that before.
They did actually smell bad. And
they're
so,
going to sue at some point.
No, they can't. They don't have the nerve. But we ended up opening, supporting them on a couple of dates on Smith Street. And I'm just thinking back now. It's like great memories. But
Phil's got a big smile on his face. As
yeah, but that, even at that time, that was like going to Australia was a nuts idea in 1990. I think it's a lot more common now, because the more Australians are moving around, the world's a much smaller place. But the Australian comedy scene and the big gig, there was a show called The Big Gig, which had all the comedians, Australian comedians on it, who are Judith Lucy and Flacco. These are all now household names in Australia. And that was the first thing we did over there, playing with the Doug Anthony All-Stars on The Big Gig.
Well, shall we hear some Doug Anthony?
Sure.
In the park after dark, when the moon is up high in the sky, the Great Dane is too tall. Chihuahuas are too small. But I like to quell lonely nights. Well, the Dutch Hound is best of all, 'cause he is longer than he's thin. He loves to.
I mean, it is. you can really get away with, I feel like you can get away with a lot more in Australia than you can here.
I think you could at the time. I don't know as much now, really, but that Australia was like led the way for sort of the punk ethic of comedy. And the Doug Anthony All-Stars, the Found Objects, the Scared Weird Little Guys, these were like musical comedy trios. Scared Weirdies are a duo. But they just like really pushed the boat out on subject matter.
I've got quite a few Australian mates, and I do find that they swear a lot more than I do.
They do.
And it's seen as like a normal thing. Yes. And quite often I can be surrounded by this group of mates and they'll be, you're right there. Yeah. And C word is used almost every single sentence. And I've never heard it so much.
Well, I know it's a cliche that, because Australia was a penal colony. More than that, I think it just may be that there's a lot of working class people ended up flitting or going to Australia to live as well. And so it's just developed this really bawdy sense of humor, and at the same time really artsy. The Doug Anthony All-Stars were all about the look and the style, and they're all great performers,
great voice.
Yeah, that's Paul McDermott and Tim and Richard. I mean, they've gone on to great things. I mean, I think Richard's the head of the ABC television now. And
wow.
Also, his own TV show. And they're back together. They're touring again, the Doug Anthony All-Stars. They were in Edinburgh a couple of years ago. But also, you have the modern guys, like the Axis of Awesome, who you'll probably know from, they do that one, the old four chords you have to know.
Yes,
they just
of
play
course.
Four chords.
Yeah. That's one of the most famous videos on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. It's got like 100 million hits, the Axis of Awesome. They're like, what a great, and great singers, great performers. But there was a show called The Cheese Shop by a guy called Dave Taranto on the, because Australians have this weird radio thing. We're like Canada, where you've got like community radio, like public access radio. And Dave Taranto and Janet McLeod had this show called The Cheese Shop, where they would just play crazy music from all over the place. And they were the first people to have Cork and the Juice Pigs on. And I think you can still get it if you go online. You can have Cheese Shop, find The Cheese Shop, and there's just musical comedy from all over the world. And it was similar to the Dr. Demento idea, is Dave would just find stuff, weird clips, comedy. He was such a beautiful comedy nerd and that he was famous for it. And that's where I discovered things like Batters, Batters, I've told you, talked about before, and also being on those shows. I was in Adelaide. I was on a show called Triple D, and I met these guys. They phoned in. I said, if you phone in and play a song, I'll get you free tickets to my show, because I was playing to like 7 people a night, and usually a family of 7 Germans, and I was struggling. And these guys called in. At the time they were called Average. Then they became the Dairy Brothers, and then finally the Beards, and they called in and sang a song about Port Stanvac, which is like the gas exchange place on the outside. It's like a big, ugly industrial place you can see from the city of Adelaide. So it's got, and they took me to see Batters in Adelaide in a little tiny back room. And I mean, I don't even think he's known amongst Australians, but I think he's one of the best, if not the best Australian lyricists, the best Australian comedy lyricists of all time. So Baterz. If you like comedy songs, look up Batters Out of Hell. If you don't know it already, it's joy, musical and comic.
I thought unrequited love would lend my life a kind of tragic poetry, but I just got too embarrassed and nobody really cared. I knew I'd found my calling when I went up to that girl and yelled out, why aren't you in love with me? And this is what she said. You're not cool if you're not doing heroin. I only spoke to you because I thought you'd score for me a taste. Thought those bruises on your arms meant you were someone I could relate to, but for me this whole encounter has been a complete waste.
So if you like Batters, if you like that, check it out, because it's my gift. The late Barnaby Charles Ward, a.k.a. Batters, the best.
Now, Phil, as we're doing the Australia special,
yes.
I thought that I would try and find a new artist that, you know, was breaking through. And instead of doing that, I found one that you've already mentioned, which is the Scared Weird Little Guys.
Yes.
Now,
John and Rusty.
Yeah. They're fantastic.
They really are great.
They really, really are. Mm. So do you know them?
I do. In fact, I'm Rusty. One of the reasons I follow the Aussie Rules football team, St. Kilda Saints, is because Rusty was a fan and took me and the Juice Pigs to watch a football game. And it was the first time we were looking around, and we're from Canada. People don't use the C word. People don't say, but there was old women in like knitted caps and blue going, come on, you cat.
I was just like, oh my God.
And it really woke us up to how rough and ready Australians were. I love the Scared Little Guys.
Okay, well, the song that I've picked that I'm going to try and do a version of is one that they have written because they want to bring people to Australia. So this is the song. Red back, funnel web, blue ring, octopus, taipan, tiger snake, adder box and jellyfish, stonefish, and the poison thing that lives in a shell that spikes you when you pick it up. Come to Australia, you might accidentally get killed. Your life's constantly under threat. Have you been bitten yet? You've only got 3 minutes left before a massive coronary breakdown. Redback, funnel web, blue ringed octopus, taipan, tiger snake, adder box and jellyfish, big shark, just waiting for you to go swimming at Bondi Beach. Come on, come to Australia, you might accidentally get killed. Your blood is bound to be spilled, with fear your pants will be filled, because you might accidentally get killed. So that's why you should go to Australia.
That's why you should go to Australia.
have you ever been bitten by
a
anything?
Spider? No, not at all.
I've been bitten by spiders in South Africa.
Are they poisonous there?
Yeah, man. Yeah, one of the best ones. I've had one on my arm, which meant that my arm went completely numb. I had to drive my car one-handed all the way to a hospital. And I had another one where it bit me on my leg during the night. And I woke up the next morning, shook out the bedclothes, didn't find it, went to the showers, shook out my boxers. There's the fucking spider.
I came home one drunken Friday evening. My father was crying on the porch. I said, hey, what's up, Dad? Has your computer eaten all your software again? He said, no, I'm afraid that it's much worse than that. Your mother's turned into a spider. So I said, hey, Dad, that's really not terribly feasible, he said. I tried to keep my head and remain rational and reasonable, but it's hard to think straight when your wife has got 8 huge cherry legs, each armed with a claw. I tell you, been married over 36 years and she's never done this before. She's got extra 4 legs and she spins enormous webs and she's laying eggs all over the place. She's doubled in size, has 6 she's doubled in size, has 6 extra eyes and started eating flies in front of my face. Oh God, I love this song so much. It's really gone completely. Last night she told me she tried to eat me when we were in bed. It's worse than my fears. It's gone way past where she's got fangs and a beard coming out of her head. My mother's turned into a spider. Your mother's turned into a spider. My mother's turned into a spider. My mother's turned into a spider. That's Batters. That's Batters.
Brilliant. It's that time of the week again where we delve into our satchel to find this week's entry for the comedy song competition.
Contest.
It's a competition.
It's a contest.
Okay, thanks for that, Phil.
I don't think that our this week's contestant, Mark Johnson, wants to feel that he's in a competition with other people. I think he just writes the songs at home to enjoy himself, and he's entered into the contest.
I'm pretty sure that he's entered into the competition that means that he could win some money.
Well, either way, Mark Johnson's entered his song,
Grandma's Story.
Sometimes when it's late at night, my eyes won't dare to sleep. I think about a tale of life my grandma shared with me. She had such pure and peachy skin when she was just 16. But for 3 dry patches on her back and on her knees, the pharmacy had oils and creams all spread across the shelf, enough to help her medicate at home all by herself. She'd choose a tub of Vaseline to home she'd be dispatched, to see if she could soothe the itch that pleaded to be scratched. Oh, she rubbed it on her back, she rubbed it on her knees, she rubbed so much she soon used up the tub of Vaseline. She rubbed it on her back, she rubbed it on her knees, and it was good, but never good enough to satisfy her needs. The local surgery, requesting Dr. Brown. She knew her parents went to church while he made his morning rounds. He helped apply some special cream with a skill that's hard to teach, and found that he could treat the spots her fingers couldn't reach. So they tried it on her back, they tried it on her knees, they tried till noon, believing soon they'd conquer this disease. They tried it on her back, they tried it on her knees, and it was good, but not quite good enough to satisfy her needs. Eureka! Cried the doctor as the notion crossed his mind. These lotions might soak deeper if they're cunningly combined. Uniquely, this concoction had them both come to rejoice. To the skin that was once dry and cracked, now wonderful and moist. Now she loves it on her back, she loves it on her knees, she loves the feel of Vaseline with a squeeze of special cream. She loves it on her back, she loves it on her knees, so much more than good enough to satisfy her needs. Oh, it's so much more than good enough to satisfy her needs. Grandma's story never fails to get me off to sleep. Get me off, get me off, get me off to sleep.
Now, if you remember, David, that Mark Johnson entered Songs in the Key of Laughs comedy song contest last year with Horse Friend.
Horse Friend.
Which he's now taken that. He was inspired to rework it, rewrite it, and re-record it with a full band. And you can hear that on Spotify. So go on to Spotify and check out Mark Johnson's Horse Friend. And that's an enter the comedy song contest.
Absolutely. If you want to enter it, please send your song in to songsinthekeyoflaugh@gmail.com. It is week four of us writing a musical, yes. Philip.
Improvising a musical.
Well, that
David.
Is exactly what we're David, doing. Yeah. But you know, we're writing it as we go.
Yes. If you've been following the pod, you'll know that we've dropped the
quickfire parody round. Yeah. Yes.
And now we've taken on an even stupider idea to try and write a musical, improvise a musical.
But yeah. How's it going so far, Phil?
I think it's going quite well.
Yeah, it's all right. So where are we up to with our story?
Well, this the musical's called Desert Island Dicks.
That's working title.
That's working title.
Yep.
And we've had a song called Monsoon. We'd have a song called Juggler.
Yeah, Juggler. Yeah, so there's two characters. Phil works in financial services. David is a juggler.
Yeah.
And David's got a fiance on the mainland.
Yes.
And,
with
an evil father. But things have turned slightly sour. They've been monsooned onto an island, David and Phil, and they have been left there, and now they've started turning on each other.
Yeah.
Phil, at the end of the last episode...
Tried
to eat David. Okay, so Phil, you've got the dictionary.
Got the dictionary, you can hear it there.
I'm we like a prompt,
to,
so...
Open it to a random page.
Random page.
And put my finger down on the random page, random word, and the word is transform.
Transform.
Ooh, I like it. This might be a transformative bit of the musical, song four.
Okay, so it's transform. pretty dark times on the island at the moment, isn't it?
Mm.
Pretty
yeah.
dark.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So...
Well, it's dark for David.
Well, we don't know the extent of his injuries as yet, though, surely.
Well, I'd say injury.
Well...
I mean, Phil was a professional butcher with the financial services. So he's actually trimmed David up quite nicely, actually. If anything, I'd say he probably looks better. David was made for one leg. David, will you please stop hopping? I'm hopping mad, Phil. You ate my leg, Phil. I said, David, will you please just stop hopping? It's driving me insane. It's running through my brain. I'm sorry I ate your leg. I was hungry and now I feel insane. Hop, 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 hop. I'm hopping mad, Phil. Hop, 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 hoppy, 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 hoppy. David, will you please stop hopping? Wait, what is that over there? Behind you, in the darkness, on the horizon. Is it a ship? Or is it something transformative? It looks like a ghost ship.
A ghost ship. Well, there we go. That's an interesting new chapter.
Chapter four.
Yeah. David's hopping mad.
If you like contests and you write songs, you're going to love our contest because it's a songwriting contest. It's a contest where you can put your song in the contest. It's the Songs in the Key of Laugh comedy song contest. It's not a competition. It's a contest. Contest, contest, contest. Send your songs into songsinthekeyoflaugh@gmail.com. Can we just remind you guys listening that it's a comedy song contest? There's prize money involved.
Yeah, there is prize money for this competition.
Yes, and the Canadians in Space who won the last series, they took away 200 smackers.
And there was a second place prize of £50 as well.
There's a second place and a second place, David.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I second praise you.
I second praise you too.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our interview today is with a comedian who was in Australia when we did the interview.
So this fits into our Australian premise.
Also smashed it at the Melbourne Comedy Festival so many times.
Yes, in 2015 she performed her first hour-long debut and she won the Green Room Award for the best original songs.
She's very good. She's the wonderful Jude Pearl.
The guest on today's show guest is someone you might know. And if you don't, that's your own fault. But you'll know them soon.
You know you will.
This jingle has been personalized for a guest that we hope that you recognize. And this week their name is... Insert name here.
It's Jude Pearl. It's Jude Pearl, everyone. Unbelievable. Jude Pearl. That's
hi,
unbelievable.
Hi, Jude. Hi.
It's actually not unbelievable because she's here. It's Jude Pearl.
Here I am.
It is.
Right there in the song.
Right, it's right. Just isn't it amazing how we didn't even know when we wrote that jingle that you were going to appear on the show, but it just happens to have your name in it.
And what's really cool is that name here is actually my family's original surname, but they had to change it when they came to. So my name would have been Judith Name Here, which would have been really close.
Is that Lebanese?
It's Polish actually. Polish. So yeah, right. Ukrainian. Polish, you know, just that Eastern European
flavor.
Name here.
I have a family beside me called Cut Here, and it's like they were in the scissors business. But anyway, and welcome to Songs in the Key of Laugh. So, where do we start with Jude Pearl? Okay, first of all, Jude, I have to say this has been an incredible journey of discovery for me and David, because we had not heard of Jude Pearl when
Jamie
said to me, well, this is so exciting for us because you're the first person we've got on our series that we have discovered through someone else. And I have to say, I don't know why Dave and I were talking about it. We don't know why we haven't heard of Jude Pearl because we think everyone should have heard of Jude Pearl. Just awesome. To get that out of the way.
Shucks. Okay.
A little blowing smoke. But those are honest words.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know how to get into this conversation other than so you're born in Texas. We can tell people that. That's exciting, right?
That's true.
You moved to Melbourne. How long ago did you move to Melbourne?
Oh, when I was three.
By
myself, with my family and stuff. So yes,
exactly. Yeah. I was like that. I moved to Canada when I was four, and but I sent money back and had my family follow me.
It's the classic story.
So you're a Melbourneite. I love Melbourne.
I'm much more a Melbourne person than a Texan person. I just want to put that out there.
Okay. You put that out there. Why Texas has kind of got a bad rap.
Well, because you're Canadian, obviously.
Yeah.
And I mean, what are your feelings towards Texas generally, or is it too early to get into something?
We've got a lot of listeners
in
Texas.
Yeah.
So we love it. everything there is brilliant.
I had a friend of mine from England. She'd moved over to Houston with her husband and their children for his work. I'm assuming oil industry. I mean, she's really struggled to fit in. I mean, she liked the food. She liked the weather. Just not the people so much. And I said, like, is that all people? And she said, no, she made some great friends there. But it was always with the sense that when I get a chance to move back to the UK, I will move back to the UK. And she has moved back to the UK. I haven't spent much time there. I think I've only been in the Houston airport, so I can't really comment on the place itself, other than it's got a reputation, doesn't it, for being a bit gunny.
It does, yeah. And look, maybe I'm being a bit unfair straight off the bat, just trying to stir some controversy about, it's like every place there's good and bad. That it's big, and so there's more bad because it's so big. Anyway, I don't know. Awesome. It's probably fine.
Wait a minute. By that logic, Canada is really big, and there should be even more bad. So
that's true. But
it's not the wilderness; it's the people.
Comedy music.
You can just cut all of this out.
So, Jude, you moved over to Melbourne, and then at some point you must have started playing the piano because you're very good at that. was the piano your first instrument?
I started playing piano when I was like 7, and I really didn't like it for the first 5 years. But I'm from one of those families where it's like, you have to learn piano. You know those families where it's like, we have a piano, so you're learning it. Like, you have to do it. And, but then it was cool because when I was like about 13, my mum found a teacher that was, because I was doing all the exams and the like classical stuff, and I just really did not thrive in that style. So my mum found a teacher that was teaching me like jazz and chords, and then it was like, oh, music is actually makes sense now. And why didn't anyone just tell me that scales exist in actual music? I would have been happy to play them if I had known they had a function. So that was quite exciting.
I had a very, very similar thing growing up. And yes, when somebody went, have you ever played blues? I went, blues? Is that Bach? What is this? And he started showing me a blues scale, and I went, oh my goodness, I can improvise, and it's really cool. So
that blues scale is like the door opens for every piano player, I think.
Absolutely.
You're like, what is the like... Yeah.
It's just that extra note, isn't it?
That sharp four just really, really, especially when it's on a dinky keyboard like this, you know, it's, anyway, yeah, now I'm just, anyway. Wait,
I read in one of the interviews that we, online, that you saw the Flight of the Conchords. Now, is that absolutely factual, or was it in an interview where you had to think, how did I bounce into comedy? Did you see the Flight of the Conchords and think, I want to do that? Or were you already writing kind of fun comedy lyrics? Like in your pop career, were you writing funny lyrics already?
I think I was always like edging into that, like, I hate using this word, but like quirky lyrics. Mm. Like, so it wasn't comedy stuff, but it was sort of in that, you know, it's a little silly, and I enjoyed that style of songwriting and lyric writing more. But I think, like, I saw Flight of the Conchords on like the Melbourne Comedy Festival has the big gala that's televised, and that's kind of like where I found out about a lot of comedians for quite a few years in my adolescence. And like I remember seeing Flight of the Conchords. It wasn't the first time I'd seen a music comedy act, but I just remember seeing them as probably a young teenager. And it was the first time that I'd seen like music comedy where I thought like, wow, that's like amazing songs. And it's so hilarious. Like this. And I think they were doing the Lord of the Rings song, like Frodo, don't wear the ring. And I just was like, cause they're just so funny. It's like, they're just so, like, so unbelievably likable in every way. So I think it wasn't like straight away I'm like, I'm gonna write comedy songs, but I saw that, and I think that went into my brain as being like, it is possible for music comedy to be like really great songs and really, really funny, and there is a combination of that that is possible.
You did have like a pop career before moving into these comedy songs, is that right?
I mean, career, like, I guess in a loosely using that word, like I released like I was doing that for about 7 years, I think. Like, I released an EP and an album but I was kind of like moving into doing comedy whilst I was finishing the album. Like, it was kind of a bit of a like transition over time, but I just like, one of the things that comedy had that music, or at least pop music, didn't seem to have was that comedy has like an inbuilt listening audience, which is so cool. Like you have audiences that are actually listening to the words that otherwise it's they wouldn't be able to laugh at what people are saying.
Yeah,
it's just me breaking down how comedy works. But like, and I just felt like doing pop music types or, you know, that genre of music was more, didn't really lend itself to like people coming and sitting and listening to the songs or the words, which I think is kind of really what I wanted. And I found that in comedy, I could actually get that sort of engagement and the response that I was looking for that was harder to get in pop music.
Yeah, I think that a lot of, I see this a lot in cabaret acts and in cabaret shows that one of, and I've, and having worked in musical theater myself and stuff, that one of the things that the singers really appreciate is that the audiences actually have, are committed to coming and sitting down and having a drink and watching a show.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go to a nightclub to watch a band or watch a folk artist, there's, you just have people chatting at the bar and you,
yeah.
If you don't have a commanding personality, you can slowly lose over time. You can lose the audience. So you've got to, play those spaces like a bigger thing. Whereas with cabaret, you know, you're able to bring it right down. And when we were talking to Tim Minchin, that's how he kind of started, because he wanted to write a theater. He wanted people to listen to what he was writing. And one of the things that struck me that's similar between, I know you could compare it to him, but one of the reasons is the lyrics are they're quite deft and they move around, they shift around, and your thoughts are really, they're not just normal rhyming couplet comedy songs, you know, like there are those jokes in there, but there's just a little bit of depth that goes beyond it, and the songs are really well sculpted and rounded. And is writing something you always did growing up? Like are you naturally given to writing stuff, or like did you write poems as a teenager? And you know, like where did the lyrics come from?
I really, like, when I was a kid and a teenager, I just wanted to play music and sing. I just was so, it didn't really occur to me that I wanted like to write songs. Like I was quite happy singing other people's songs. I just really loved singing and being a part of music, and I was very obsessed with like a handful of musicals that I would watch and rewatch and like, and then, you know, act out all of the songs and do all that kind of stuff. And then like, it's kind of embarrassing, but it wasn't until I was at uni and one of my teachers at uni, and I was studying music, and he was like such a great teacher. And I sort of went to speak to him and I was like asking like, how do I get gigs doing like cover gigs? I just want to look for like gigs as a cover musician. And he was just like, you should just be writing songs. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then I just started writing songs because I was like, well, if he thinks I should do that, then I should start doing that. And then it was like the next day I just started writing songs. Just
right.
So just, I'm not very good at making decisions myself, but if somebody that I like tells me to do something, I'm like, well, if it'll make you like me more, then I'll definitely do it. So, you know, that was kind of how it sort of happened. And then, I mean, obviously once I started doing it, I really loved doing it. And I didn't really come to it until like my early 20s. Like I wrote stuff as a teenager, but it was usually in fits of angst and not, they weren't, I'm don't even want to sort of think about any of the things that I wrote as a teenager as being like real songs or anything.
We've all got those.
Just out of curiosity, what was that teacher's name?
His name's Tony Floyd, and he's...
oh, no, not him. not the strangler, Tony Floyd. How could you have brought that up? So, no, because because we get influenced by so many people, and either directly or indirectly, I think it's good to remember it. It's good to... I mean, I've always been of that mind. There are people that sort of exist in an artistic bubble where they believe or they convince themselves it is all their own thing, that they've created everything all on their own. And I've never been like that. I've always been my teacher, Frank Luke, who was one of my theater teachers, is the only reason I went to acting school, is because he kept saying to me, you can do this. This is something you should do. You are a natural. And I think it's important for people that do teach to know that they're having that effect. So even if you're just listening to this and you're a lot of musical comedians, a lot of musicians and people that we know, they teach as a part of their lifestyle because they need the money. They teach children, and you don't know who you're, you don't know the next person you're going to influence. So I think it's I think it's great. Thanks, Tony.
Tony. He's a legend.
Well done, Tony.
it's very
now
true.
You're not going to have to send Tony this podcast.
I will.
I'm just trying to get more listeners.
So when you got to recording Modern Times, did you record it in the States or did you record that in Australia?
I recorded that in LA. So in like 2014, I went to LA for about 6 months. And while I was there, I was started working with a producer and it was in Santa Barbara, which is like 2 hours out of LA, and we just recorded the whole thing there. And it was like, it was really fun to record it, but I really did not have any idea what I was doing. Like, and I think that's kind of been, I've noticed as I've gotten older, some people are very strategic in how they plan parts of their career, and they have like a 5-year plan, and I've always tried to write a 5-year plan and then I get really bored and I'm like, I don't know, I just want to do something right now. And then that's kind of how I made the album. I was like, I don't know, I'm just going to record the songs and I'll figure it out later. And it probably is good to have a bit of a plan, but I still don't really know how to do that kind of stuff very well.
I don't know. I've no plans. Well, yeah. My problem with plans is that when I don't achieve the plan, or I never finish it because I do get distracted as well, then I feel like I've let myself down.
This album, Modern Times, you reference in it quite a bit these jingles that you write for Sugar O's. Is that right? Yeah. I love a jingle.
I love Sugar O's.
And there we go. So is this a genuine thing?
No, I'm sad to let all of the listeners out there who are like so hoping that it was a real thing, that I'm sorry to let you know that it isn't. That it was like my second solo comedy show where I was like pretending to be a jingle writer for a sugar company, and that kind of cross-pollinated into the album a little bit. It was all very it made complete sense to me, but I don't know if it made sense to anyone else. But that makes me even more proud of it, just confusing people has always been one of my goals.
I really, really like that. I really like that. Because I think confusion is a great place to, a great way to elicit the response of laughter. Because when you get people in that state where they're almost like they're not sure what's real and what's not, you can really start to just fuck with their heads, and it's really great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad that you see that, because that was the goal. But
My mind skips to is you could take Sugar O's, like that's the idea of you being a jingle writer. I mean, it's already setting itself up for the Jude Pearl sitcom where she's a jingle writer for Sugar O's. I mean, that's where my mind goes.
You have also written a musical. Are we right with that? Is it Roommates?
Well, yeah, I called it. This was really good advice from my friend Desiree, who's like directed a couple of my shows. And she was like, because speaking of confusion and people sometimes being confused by the multitudes of things that aren't real in my show and some things that are real, she's like, just call your next show Something the Musical, and then people will know that it has music in it. So at least that part won't be confusing. So it was still just a solo show, but I called it Something the Roommates the Musical. It's like written like a musical, but with one person doing it, and with like, you know, the disembodied voice, pre-recorded voices being all the other characters. And
now this has blown my mind. There's a video of you playing at the start of Roommates saying that you're in for a treat, it's the first night of the show, and nobody else is going to get this treatment, me playing a song before the first night of the show. Is that
I can't quite remember what this is. I'm so intrigued though that what it might have been.
Okay.
We'll send it. David will send you the clip.
I'll send you the clip. Yeah, and you'll go, oh, yeah, it's that.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Are
you, do you have plans to come to the UK, to come to the Edinburgh Festival? Have you ever thought about, like, is that part of your five-year plan?
I think about coming to Edinburgh, like, almost every day of my life for the last 7 years. I was actually going to come with Janet in 2020, but, you know, alas, that obviously didn't work out. But I still would love to come at some point. I'm just kind of waiting to, you know, I was thinking about this year, but then I think the Omicron thing has made it just seem like still a little bit unsure, but I'm also like the worst decision maker ever of all time. So, but yeah, of course I would love to come to the UK.
We'll have to get you on the show when you are in the UK. I have a question. We like to ask this to most of our guests. Is there a particular song that a comedy song that is your particular favourite?
Well, like, comedy song, would that include stuff from musical theatre stuff as well?
Yeah,
do you think?
Of course it does. Yeah,
yeah.
Because
it could be a jingle. It could be like Crazy Frog if you wanted it to be.
He really likes Crazy Frog.
No, I don't.
He really does.
No, I don't. He's
mentioned it so many times.
We covered it in an earlier episode because it is a comedy song, because it's not a real song. And it's probably the most famous comedy song worldwide. I can't think of a bigger, more famous comedy song.
Like Shut Up Your Face or something. Maybe that would be.
Yes, we've done that. We've covered that one. And that's Joe Dolce. He's Australian, isn't he?
Oh yeah. Maybe it's more famous here than.
No, it's
a big deal. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I got worried for a second.
There. Everyone loved singing "Shut Up Your Face" to their friends. That was just.
He does it to me all the time.
Yeah.
I want to, like, there's so many things that come to my mind, but I feel like I want to say, like, Business Time, Flight of the Conchords is definitely, up in the, near the top if it isn't my very favorite. But, like.
It's so good.
I know this is, like, really, sometimes you say that you like things and people are like, my respect for you has just gone down a little bit. But, like. Okay, good.
Business Time. How can you not like Business Time? Well, I'm sure there's someone somewhere who goes, thumbs down, don't get it. Who are these guys?
I meant for the thing I'm about to say. And of course,
okay. Hold on. Leave some air. Okay.
Okay. Because, like, my favorite musical of all time is Fiddler on the Roof. I'm just putting it out there.
My grandmother's favorite.
Of course, it's a classic grandparent favorite, I would say. But there's just certain lines in that musical that are like perfectly combine everything that I think is great about music comedy, where it's like, because you've got the there's something very funny, but then it's like the amazing musicalness, and then also some sad. I love the happy sad or the funny sad combo is quite enjoyable. So I was just going to give an honorable mention to that musical in general.
Fiddler on the Roof. What are some of the lyrics? Can you recall them? The ones you're talking about?
That's such a great question, because as soon as you said that, my brain just went like, okay. I'm wiping every lyric from Fiddler on the Roof.
I didn't want to put you on this spot.
I always have like a dream of seeing Jack Black play that role. I would really enjoy seeing just singing, doing the "If I Were a Rich Man" and I don't know.
You know, there is a clip of him doing that.
Is there
Jack
really?
Black. There's a clip online of him singing "If I Was a Rich Man."
I wonder if
I don't think he does the whole thing, but he does a bit of it.
Okay. Maybe also, I saw that and then thought I came up with the idea of Jack. I was like, wouldn't it be great if? Okay, we'll have to check
it
out.
Well, it would be great. And I wonder if now that Steven Spielberg's getting into doing remakes, that movie couldn't use a remake, because it's still such a timely story. I mean, that story is not going to go away.
Mm. I'd love to ask you about the song, one wonderful song, the "Hey Hi Hello" song, which is about you being very, 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 very awkwardly talking to somebody who's asked you to come round, and you're answering, hi, hello, it's amazing. But this song is epic. It's like a very weird, and I will say that word that you said that you don't want to be classified as, but quirky, very very weird, quirky version of like your Bohemian Rhapsody. At the end, it's huge. It's like Hey Jude, but it's wonderful. Can you, yeah, please tell us a little bit about is it hey hi hello?
Yeah, hey hi hello. I think is because cool. I found out that there was another song after I'd already like recorded it. There was another song called Hey Hi Hello, so I'm like, I'll just call it Hey Hi Hey Hello, and then that'll solve all the problems. But also, it's so much nicer hearing someone else explain your song to you. That's just like really delightful, because I just feel like when I try and explain it, I'm like, well, but what you said was so much more fun. But yeah, it was, I'm really glad that you mentioned that song, because like, that's actually like the song that I'm the most proud of. I don't know why, like, it's just so stupid, but like no one, you know, I did it in like my fourth show, and like, it's not a song that people ever really ask me about ever, because they're probably just a bit like, what the hell was that? It's very much just like the excitement of hanging out with the new, like, you know, when I started seeing the guy that I'm with now, it was like we started to go out, and it was all just very, very exciting. And my excitement kind of comes out as, hey, hey, hi, hey, hey, hello, hi, hey, hi, hello. Yeah. So, yeah, that's, I don't know if I explained that at all very well.
Yeah, but, dude, no, yeah. It's great. Honestly, in the first few bars, you've got X amount of like key changes, and it's so good though. Oh, like the way that your vocal line manages to bring it all, to tie it all together, it's very, very clever, and it's a real work of art.
Oh, that's really, really good. I really appreciate that. I do feel like I've been moving into more of the prog comedy, like that's that genre of it's like, it's kind of like I want the listener to feel as anxious as I do, so I just try and like move the music to match like my rapid thoughts. It's like, all right, now you have to deal with it. So that was kind of the goal.
Another Australian, Eddie Perfect, who
who wrote
Beetlejuice the musical, which is also musically really brilliant. Oh, I think it's brilliant. I love it. And and I was thinking it's got the kind of movements in it, the way that the music moves in it. It feels like you're going in a direction that's going just away from sort of a Ben Folds Five pop sort of quirkiness into full orchestral. Like I could imagine you writing a full orchestral piece like that. So oh, cool. Go and do it if you got 5 years.
That's your 5-year plan.
Okay,
done.
Yes. If it will make you like me more, then I will absolutely do it. Yeah,
isn't that what we're all like? Is that been a drive for you? Were you bullied a lot as a kid?
I was, but like, I don't know if it was, I don't know. I always don't know how much school sucks for everyone, but to me it's like, I'm like, school sucks, surely everybody feels that way, and then I meet people that didn't have that experience, and that doesn't make any sense to me. But I don't feel like I'm quite a, you know, sensitive, not good at hiding things person, so like school's not really designed for my my kind, unfortunately. But
yeah, well, I share that. Are you an only child?
No, I'm the youngest of three.
Youngest of three. I'm the youngest of three.
Oh my gosh. The middle child.
And he's an idiot.
Oh, no.
But the youngest of three, is there a large age gap between the middle child and you, or are you all born one after another?
So 4 years between me and my brother, and then 6 years between me and my sister. So okay, not great. Huge, but...
Not huge, but enough to... The reason I'm going along this line of questioning is, is that... No, I find that because people... when people are like only children, or when there is a large age gap, they sort of exist in their own creative bubble. And when you are at school, well, for me personally, when I was at school and coming from another country, being feeling a little bit out and lost in the culture and being bullied, I went in back into my mind and a lot of the stuff that I came up with, voices, being singing and being silly and all that stuff came out of my defense mechanism to you know make myself feel better, I guess. And I was wondering, I've just read a few things that you've written, you've spoken about, and I wondered if that was played a large part in your creativity.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I can totally relate to what you're saying, and that like the show that I did last year, which like I'm about to release an album of for that as well. It's like all about school, like, and kind of the sort of futile feeling of trying to deal with a bully, and the way that like it was kind of inspired by that thing of, I don't know if this happened to you at school, but it was like we would have anti-bullying seminars where like some pro athlete would come and talk about bullying for some reason, and you'd just be like, and they'd be like, bullying's bad, and then everyone'd be like, yeah, and then the next day like just everything was back to normal as if nothing had changed. And I always just felt like there really is, I've never really seen that there was any solution to it, but just kind of at least acknowledging that it happens and sometimes there isn't really a solution. So I definitely feel like it's influenced so much of what I do, and it is very cathartic to like, even before you perform it, like you were saying, even just to voice it and to put it into a song or put it into some silliness kind of takes a little bit of the power away, which is really lovely. And then, you know, performing it and people laughing, you know, is another way of taking the power away. And, you know, so many people have gone through something, some iteration of that. Like so many of us were bullied, but also probably did some bullying and didn't realize it, you know, and it's like there's all that weird time mixed up in there. Yeah.
I haven't really thought this through, but also the bullied sometimes become the bullies, because that's almost like what happens is why you get the nerds have taken over the world.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, because once we realize we're adults and you can't bully me anymore, there's actually a society and laws and structure that means you can't just, like, what are you going to do, fight me? You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You can't bully me anymore. But we do have to be careful, because we usually become so adept at getting around it and bullying back that we, one way of avoiding it is, I think, to put it into music and put it into song and get it out. And what you're doing by doing this, you're allowing the allowing audiences to get to release those feelings. Not to get too heavy into what I think musical comedy does, but the reason that people like it and why it's valuable is because sometimes it speaks directly to them about the thing that they are, and it allows them a little bit of self reflection. Like the song you wrote, is it Good Person? The angle of it is you're gently chastising for people for patting themselves on the back for being a good person when they're actually not really, and I'm assuming you mean all of us, none of us ever really do enough, and it's not it doesn't come across as being preachy, it comes across as being personal to yourself, that's part of your what you've recognized about yourself, and imagine that gets a really great reaction from audiences, comedy audiences, because everyone wants to be reminded that's not enough. So I hope that your bullying musical has the similar effect.
No, I think it's good.
Thank you. Yeah, I kind of feel like everything. Yeah, like that song is very much me noticing, patting myself on the back whenever I do something tiny and being like, "Wow, that's not very good." Like it's always anything that comes across as judgmental that I do is like just know that it's because I'm doing it. So
it really does.
Thank you.
We mentioned before about your family, and your latest release was about making a Christmas tree. It's an EP.
Yeah,
and I've listened to it and it's great, but you spoke about your new relationship, and would you like to explain to our listeners about this EP?
Sure. So the beginning of I've been with my partner for about like 5 years now, and at the beginning of the pandemic, like around March 2020. I moved in with him, and he's got two. I say kids, but they're like, you know, young adults now. But so last year was the first Christmas that I had living with them, and I've never had Christmas before because I'm Jewish background. So I got really overly excited about like the idea of just getting a shitty little Christmas tree from like, I don't know what the spotlight equivalent would be, like, you know, like you're like a kind of a very cheap fabric store, whatever that would be in like the UK. It's like, go and get like a $20 Christmas tree that you build out of three little pieces, and we bought all the decorations, and I was just like about to pass out from excitement because I just had never had a tree before. And so this song is like I wanted the music to reflect the excitement that I had. So it's quite a orchestral, like I've tried to really take that prog comedy thing to the next level. And, yeah. So, and then the rest of the EP has a few other little, like there's a Hanukkah song there, which is like me just trying to grapple with whether or not I like Hanukkah, and I don't know when it is ever. there's a song about a Christmas slug as well. So it's kind of got everything that you could possibly want in a Christmas release, I think.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, I think that this kind of brings us to our favorite part of
our
interview.
What do you say, our favorite part? It's always your favorite part. I mean, I like it.
I normally say it's mine, so I've said our.
I know, but it
time.
Feels disingenuous because you always say it's my favorite part of the thing. What two things? Then you're diminishing the earlier part of the lovely interview we've had with this wonderful performer, and now you're saying, "Oh, no, my favorite part." I don't know, David. Anyway, it's also my favorite part.
Trouble in paradise over here. Oh, my goodness. Right.
Basically, Jude, we'd love to hear you play.
This is Songs in the Key of Laugh, and this is the wonderful Jude Pearl.
Okay. This is a song about labels.
Well, if a label's helpful, you should use it. If a label's helpful, you should definitely use it. Well, sometimes labels are the key to identify your identity. If a label's helpful, you should use it. If a label makes you feel much safer, so you don't have to explain things to your workmates or your neighbor. If that label helps define who you are, it saves you time. If the label's helpful, you should use it. But sometimes labels just cause interference. And some people find them more of a hindrance. Cause maybe you don't fit in one group, you're more complex than a can of soup. Unless that label's helpful, then don't use it. When I was 9, I was sure that I was gay. I wore baggy clothes, I was scared of men, and all the boys I liked told me I was gay. But then one day I saw a vag and I said, that's nice, but it's not for me. And I hate to say it, it makes me sick, but I really do love me some dick. If a label gets you something you need, if the label's accurate and it can help you succeed, if that label gets you the right medication or assists you with your education, if the label's helpful, fucking milk the shit out of it. In my early 20s, but people wouldn't buy it because I wasn't cool or sexy. It's being sexy and writing songs, apparently, can't occur independently, but it's cool because I left the music industry on good terms, mostly. So then I labeled myself a comedian, and a bunch of people were like, no, you're not a comedian. Well, I guess they're right, what do I know? I've only written and performed 6 full-length comedy shows. I just thought the label might be helpful from a marketing perspective. Some days I wake up and I'm a lady, and other days I wake up and I'm not so much lady. Well, I guess I'm called that gender fluid. Right now I don't need that label, so I don't use it. The label doesn't help me, I don't use it. True for you forever. You take care of those labels because they hold your life together. When there was a time you had to hide that part of you, it's life denied. Now there is
goosebumps. Anyway.
Thank you.
That was great. Jude, thank you so much for coming on Songs in the Key of Laugh. It's been a real pleasure getting to know you. And I hope that you get it over to the UK sometime soon, or that I get to come out to Melbourne and or we get to come out to Melbourne and we'll meet there.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much. Such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, great. And good luck with the musical, with the bullying good luck with the bullying.
Good luck with the bullying.
You guys, I got bullied. Look, you're just laughing at me. I don't respond well to this. That was Jude Pearl.
Goodbye, adios, farewell. You'll be glad to hear that we think that your interview went well. But we have other things to get on with now, so you're gonna have to go. I'm sure our paths will cross again, but whoever really knows? It's been fun, it's been musical, it's been comical at times. But now we have to leave you, so goodbye, goodbye.
Well, that was Jude Pearl.
Whoa. She is such a good musician, and her voice.
Oh, just the whole thing. So the whole package. That she's just hilarious. She's a great musician, and what a wonderful person. I'm so glad we got to speak to her. Thanks to Janet McLeod for putting me on to her.
That's the end of our Australian special.
Yeah, how did we make it an Australian special? I mean, obviously there's so many more Australians that we could talk about, and great musicians and all the stuff, but thanks for listening to our Australian special.
If you'd like to see more or hear more from Jude Pearl, why not follow her on Twitter @Jude_Pearl.
You can also get her at Instagram @Jude_Pearl. Pearl is spelled P-E-R-L.
Or pre-order her new album, Participation Award, coming out on April 7th, or go to one of her shows at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, the Sydney Comedy Festival, or the Brisbane Comedy Festival.
If you'd like to support this podcast, please go to patreon.com/songsinthekeyoflaugh.
Or coffee.com/songsinthekeyoflaugh.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.